The reading this morning is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, starting at verse 10, which can be found on page 628 of the Church Bibles. The lover of money will not be satisfied with money, nor the lover of wealth with gain. This also is vanity. When goods increase, those who eat them increase. And what gain has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of labourers, whether they eat little or much, but the servant of the rich will not let them sleep. There is a grievous ill that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owners to their hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. Though they are parents of children, they have nothing in their hands. As they came from their mother's womb, so they shall go again, naked as they came. They shall take nothing for their toil, which they may carry away with their hands. This also is a grievous ill. Just as they came, so shall they go. And what gain do they have from their toiling in for the wind? Besides, all their days they eat in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and resentment. This is what I have seen to be good. It is fitting to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of the life God gives us, for this is our lot. Likewise, all to whom God gives wealth and possessions, and whom he enables to enjoy them and to accept their lot and find enjoyment in their toil, this is the gift of God. For they will scarcely brood over the days of their lives because God keeps them occupied with the joy of their hearts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Lord God, we give thanks for your word. We pray that it would dwell richly in our hearts through faith, for we ask in your mighty name. Amen. So this morning we continue a short series we've got at the moment looking about God and life. And today we think about God and money. To approach the sort of elephant in the room when money is talked about from the front, I often hear, you always talk about money. I also hear you never talk about money. So, who knows? Today, we're talking about money. And it's not in the context of a particular giving. It's in the context that it is good for us. And actually, the reading that was chosen is about the idea of our wealth and our money and our giving and all of those aspects of life can be part of a good aspect of life. And that's the context of this whole series, whether it was faith and well-being. God can be in a good aspect of our well-being. This week, God can be in a good aspect of our money. And that's very important when we think about this reading from Ecclesiastes 5 this morning. Feel free to have it still open. I'll be referencing certain verses, page 628 in the Old Testament sections of your pew Bibles. Today I actually will be focusing on that end section because actually I think it gives one of the most positive views on the money that we have, on the gifts that we have from God, that we can have a positive outlook of what we have been given. Not that it is just an enemy of the flesh, but it's something that can be a balance in our life, that's something that can be a blessing as well to us. I want to start from verse 10 of chapter 5. And yes, that is probably the thing you think of when, you know, the church is talking of money. The lover of money will not be satisfied. This also is vanity. When we think of the Bible and it might be talking about money, it's probably telling us we have too much, that we're doing it wrongly. And that we're not supposed to be happy, that we're supposed to look glum about the fact that we still have some money left. And maybe on its own we could think that way. But the Bible doesn't always call us to give everything away, to live cold, shivering existences, although probably today we can't live cold, shivering existences wherever we are. But the idea that we also know that God wants to bless us. And then we're kind of like, okay, if God wants to bless us, why am I feeling bad about the fact that I have some money as well? The idea that if all good things come from God, why should I be apologetic that I have earned some money and that I have a certain life? And so if you've ever had these quandaries and ever sort of wondered how these aspects of Scripture line up, then it's a good place to start this morning. Now it is, I think, actually, when they think about the vanity here in this beginning of the passage, they're talking about when we don't hold various things in balance, when we don't think about having too much, or acknowledging that it is from God, or knowing that it is a blessing at that point. When it talks about the lover of money, they're only thinking of themselves. They're only thinking of what they can store, of what they can build, of what they can make for themselves. And so money at this point becomes its own end. Now, I was thinking about my own life, and I was thinking, am I a lover of money? And I thought of myself, and I thought, I'm probably more often a worrier of money. I don't know if anyone else here is a worrier of money. Whether it's the family bills, the pensions, the payslips, the family budgets, the givings, whatever it is, there's so much going on. I think I am more often a worrier of money than a lover of it. It consumes me in a very different way than how much can I gather, how much can I store. But actually, do I have enough? Have I been frivolous with it? Have I spent something that I don't have? So, moving forward to verse 18, which is what I want us to focus on, the three verses, verses 18 through to 20. And if you take nothing away, hold these verses in your mind. Come back to them. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 from verses 18 through to 20. Now, verse 18. This is what I've seen to be good. It is fitting to eat and drink, to find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of the life that God gives us. For this is our lot. Now here we see that God gives us our work and that actually he gives us compensation for doing it, for the things that he has called us to do, and that this is good. It is in fact God-given, and curious that it calls it our toil. This seems to have resonance with Genesis when they're thrown out the garden and then tending the earth to be their toil. Interesting, they use that term still here, but here it has a much more positive tone. That yes, it is our toil. Yes, it is for the certain number of days that we have on this earth, but it will come with enjoyment. It will come with its compensation, and this is good. And then in verse 19, likewise, all to whom God gives wealth and possession and whom he enables to enjoy them, to accept their lot, to find enjoyment in their toil. And this is the gift of God. They're building up a very different picture, I think, of the what we are called to do and the compensation that we have for it. God gives them ability to find enjoyment in the things that they have. Firstly, that God should be in them. Whatever you do in your daytime, paid, unpaid, if you would probably not call it your toil, it's not really a word we use anymore, but if you think of it as the thing that I am called to in my day, that I should be finding God in it, that I should find enjoyment in it, fulfillment in it, and accept what it is for us. That it's not a guilty pleasure that we hide away from God. It says he helps them to accept their lot, that we can't compare with another's, that we can't tell God, I'd love someone else's life. I'd really like someone else's paycheck or house or whatever it is. And that God knows too that when we have contentment with what we have, then we find true contentment. When we invite God in, when we're thankful for what we have received, whatever that is, without peering over the garden hedge at what someone else has, or what someone on the other side of our hobby group or office has. Because if we do, we kill the joy that we have in what we have been given. This passage here is building up this sense of, you have your toil, you have what you've been called to. There is compensation for it, that God is in the midst of it, and that you should find enjoyment in it. It's interesting, it says that at any point that we should find goodness in it. And in that, I was thinking about Paul. And Paul was, I think, in the New Testament, the chief example of someone who found contentment, whatever their lot. Because that's what this Ecclesiastes is saying, you know, we are to accept our lot and to find enjoyment in our toil. And this is the gift of God. Paul in Philippians 4 says this, I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. And in all circumstances, I have learnt the secret to being well fed and of going hungry and of having plenty and of being in need. Paul was saying, I have found contentment. And it's in knowing that God is in the midst of it. At one point, I had this great career and my name was well known. And now I'm harassed and chased out of cities. I'm put in prison. And now I've found contentment. Setting our emotions by the lot that we have is folly. But with God, he can offer us contentment. And that's one of the key moments in this Ecclesiastes 3 verses. Finding our contentment in the lot that we've been given. There's a few words that we don't really use. We don't talk about our toil. We don't often talk about our lot in life as well. But it does summarize what we are wanting to think about. And then finally from verse 19, that we are to find enjoyment in our toil. Do you think about that in what God calls you to in your day-to-day? Whether there is great financial reward in it or not, that we are to seek enjoyment in it. And that that is right. Maybe think back to some of my first jobs. Maybe afterwards we can chat about what our first jobs were. Because often we, you know, get into the jobs we sort of wanted. But first jobs can be really random. I'd be interested to hear what your first jobs were. I think they're a great example of finding the joy in the midst of, and God in the midst of it, because it probably wasn't what we chose. For anyone interested, for me it was work in a pub while I was at school. I was in sales in a department store when I was at university. And then I was, after university, cleaning and, again, pub management after I graduated. And it was amazing. Finding God in the midst of those was a great discipline. And some of the greatest surprises. Now's not a moment for some of those stories. But once you learn that contentment, God, I don't know why I'm here. I think I'm here because someone offered me a job, and that's okay. And then, you know, the conversations that happened, the great faith building in myself and in others was amazing. But here, going back to this short Ecclesiastes passage, we have these ideas that we are to see positive views of what God calls us to. Using that idea from Genesis, the toil that we have in the few days that we are called to, that will come with financial potentially financial gain at some point in our lives. We are to seek the goodness of God in it. He calls us to find joy in it, in what we have, by accepting our lot in life, by not peering over at what others have, to find contentment in it. And it's at that point that I hope that we won't be like the beginning of the passage, seeking after vanity, becoming lovers of money. As Jesus said in his parables, those who store up store barns that they can't take with them. My two pence with this is that God gives us a unique call on our lives. And hopefully we are called to live a good life that we find contentment in, that we find joy in. And that we are also to build up the kingdom, primarily through the giving to the church, but also I know many of you give to many other Christian things as well. If we are to hold these in balance, then we are to find contentment. If we give to the church and we give to some other causes close to our hearts, we break that sense that we have to hold on to it. And actually, by in the giving away of certain amounts, we break that sense that we have to hold on to it, that we are scared of it, that either we are a warrior of money or that we are a lover of money. And we are to see transformation in the world as well, both through the work of the church, but more broadly as well. We are breaking injustice. And then if we are content with the rest, then we can live a good life. Noting here that in it, the Ecclesiastes, they talk about the laborer. Did you notice that little short moment that they mentioned the laborer? Sweet is the sleep of laborers. It was an intriguing moment. It's about halfway through the passage. Namely, good and easy is the sleep of someone who has done their lot in life, who has found their contentment, has known the goodness of God, and at the end of the day can say, God, you were with me. Thank you that you were with me. I can sleep and I can wake up tomorrow and I can do the same again. I've not tried to save so much up that I don't need to trust you for tomorrow, but I've been able to trust you for today. And it was a lovely little phrase, very different from many others we see. Sweet is the sleep of laborers, from verse 12, if you want to find it. If we seek contentment, and that's namely within God, then, and also in the midst of the toil, the call that God has on our life, then we can be confident that we can know God. Then we can be confident that we can invite him in, welcome him in, that we will have a better relationship with the money that we have. That money doesn't have to be this negative thing, but actually it can be a very positive thing. It can see transformation in the world. It can see good things. It can want to bless our friends. We'll probably want to be more generous in many different ways. The encouragement here is that when we get to a good place with how we hold our money, that actually we can get to a really great place in life. Let's pray together. Lord God, we give you thanks for the things that you have called us to. As the passage put it, our toil and our lot in life. But the good things that you have called us to, we give you thanks for all that we have received at your hands. We give over to you any sense of holding on to the money that we shouldn't hold on to tightly. We give over to you any worries that we have about our finances as well. And we pray that with you in the midst of it, we would have a positive view of all of the good gifts that you give us. We know that you're in the midst of us, that all good things come from you. And so we pray that the money that we have would be part of our holistic life here on this earth, that it would be a blessing to us, but it would also be a blessing to those around us. We ask this in your mighty name. Amen.